Good morning, everyone. We want to give you an earnest word of welcome along to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence and pray that the Lord will manifest his presence with us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 tells us, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I want to be a vessel in the Lord's hands. The message of that text is very clear. If the Lord is going to use us, we need to be a clean vessel, a vessel that is purged and sanctified from all that is unclean and all that defiles it. That's in keeping with our Bible study, our message a little later in the service. We're turning to the hymn number 27 as we commence our worship. Hymn number 27, words of Charles Wesley's about the Lord's Day. "Come, let us with our Lord arise, our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made, and rose triumphant from the dead." Hymn 27, please, and we'll stand to sing. Let's just pray together. We're going to approach the throne of grace. Our Father, we're mindful, you've told us, and we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. We want to give thee thanks for the return of thy day. We rejoice in the Lord's day, the first day of the week. We rejoice, Father, that you've brought us to the house of God on this Sabbath morning. We have come, Father, to dedicate this day to thyself, to your worship, to the service of Christ. We ask, Father, that you'll help us to dedicate this week unto thee. We remember that this day reminds us of our Saviour, especially of his triumph over death and over hell, that he rose triumphant from the dead. We want to pray that we would know the presence of the resurrected Christ in our midst. Remember on that first Lord's Day how he came amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be unto you." Lord, we would long that that would be our experience this Sabbath day. We plead with thee to come. We ask unitedly, earnestly, that you'll come and be in our midst, that you'll come and be in our presence. We want to pray, Father, that you'll guide us through the meeting today. You've assured us in your word, if in all our ways we acknowledge thee, that you will direct our paths. We ask for that direction. We pray for the leading of God in these meetings. We would pray, Father, that all that we would do would be to the glory of our God. We want to pray that our Saviour himself would be honoured, that he might be magnified in these meetings. We pray that he will be given the preeminent place. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to live in that manner, that in all that we do, that Christ will have the glory. We remember the words of that first question, the first answer to the question in the catechism that most of us learned so many years ago. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Lord, may that ever be the desire, the longing, the burden, the motive of our hearts. We pray that all that we would do, as the apostle said, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Pray that will be so, Father, of these meetings and of this church and its witness here in this city. We want, Father, to bring our land before thee. We're saddened and greatly grieved even by the events in the streets of our capital city yesterday. Lord, we think of truth been trodden down in the streets, and we think of the tide of evil that is so evidently arising around us. We remember, Father, that you've told us, foretold of these days. Remember our Saviour when he was here upon the earth, and he spoke about the days of Lot and the days of Sodom coming again upon the earth. Lord, we're mindful and we recognize the truthfulness of your word. We recognize, Father, the confidence that we can put in the record of the book of God that is so dear to us. We see those events being fulfilled around us and before our very eyes. We pray, Father, for grace that we might live for thee in such an evil day. Remember your servant Enoch, the emphasis of the ungodly and wicked days in which he found, and yet he was a man that stood out because he walked with God. Lord, we take encouragement from the life of Enoch that even at such a time it's possible to have that clear-cut testimony for God, a life that shines brightly for him. We pray, Father, give us such a walk even today. Draw us a little closer to thyself. We want to pray, Father, bless the Church of Christ in these days. We pray you'll strengthen the witness of the gospel. We pray, Father, that you'll help us, even in the words of that lovely hymn that we're so familiar with, to stand up for Jesus, even at such a time. Lord, we want to pray that you'll turn the tide of evil. We're conscious, Lord, that like Sodom of old, that our land at this time is ripe for the judgment of God upon it. We're pleading, Father, that you might be pleased to be gracious to us. We ask that in wrath you would remember mercy. We pray, Father, visit this land, visit it with revival, send to us a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. Lord, we remember that even in the church at Corinth, it spoke of those who were abusers of themselves with mankind, and yet such were some of you, but ye are washed. We rejoice today in the power of the message of the gospel, that where sin abounds, that God's grace doth much more abound. Lord, display your grace in this land. Pray that even some of the most prominent leaders of that campaign might be brought to Christ, that they might be made great trophies of grace, that they too would experience the cleansing power of the Saviour's blood, even of which Paul spoke in that letter to those Corinthian believers. We believe, Father, that you're the same God. We believe that we preach the same gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We pray, Father, increase our faith in the confidence of your word, or increase our faith in your word. Give us a greater confidence, we pray, in the message that we preach and in the message that we proclaim. We pray that we'll see evidences of God at work all around us. And Lord, we're conscious that even at such a time that you test us and test our faithfulness to thee, and we want to be those that are found faithful even in such a day. Lord, we're not to despise, your word says, the day of small things. We pray for grace, Lord, to continue in the work, even as we look around and to the natural eye. There's not much, Father, to encourage us. We don't see much evidence of people being spoken to and souls being saved. But you've exhorted us in your word that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So we pray, Father, increase our faith. Help us to be faithful in all that you've given us to do for thee. We want to be like Mary of Bethany. We want to be those that do what we can with the health, the strength, the talents, the opportunities that you're pleased to give to us. And Lord, even as we're mindful that when the Savior foretold those events, he told us that when we would see them, they would be evidences that of his return that was drawing nigh. The scriptures tell us, the Savior said, that when you see all these things begin to come to pass, that we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, we would pray, help us to watch and wait for the return of our Savior. We pray that we'll be those that are occupying until he comes, that we'll be diligent in the work that you've given us to do. Lord, we want to live and labor in such a way that we'll hear those words from our Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, the cry of our hearts to thee is that great prayer at the end of the scriptures, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Lord, abide with us now. Give us help. Give us direction through the meeting, especially in the things that are said. And Lord, may this be a meeting where the voice of God is heard, and may it be used to the edification, the building up of God's people in the faith of the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing the 30th paraphrase together from Hosea chapter 6. The opening four verses: "Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn." So we're going to sing the whole paraphrase. The paraphrase 30 again, "Rising to Sing," please. taking the scriptures, please. And we're turning together to the book of Nehemiah and the fourth chapter. Found just a short distance before the book of Psalms, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and then the book of Psalms itself. So we're in the book of Nehemiah and the fourth chapter. We're beginning to read at the first verse. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the passage. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's hear the word of the Lord. May the Lord speak to us through the reading of his word as well as the preaching of it. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You think of the threats made against the people of God, the reproach upon them. Just to point out the prayer that was offered here from verse 4, "Hear, O our God." We sometimes say Daniel was a man of prayer. We sing that little chorus, stands out in the scriptures for his prayer life. Nehemiah was a man of prayer too. The first chapter of the book is mainly the prayer of Nehemiah that he pleaded with God for Jerusalem and for God to open the door for him to do this work. But through the book, if you look carefully as you read through it, there's times when he spontaneously begins to pray in the midst of his circumstances. And he's a great example to us in that regard. when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, personally, practically, even spiritually, in the work of God, the right thing to do, one of the best things to do, is to cry to God, lift that matter to the Lord in prayer. So note, or do look for and note those prayers as you read through the book. We're glad to see you all at morning worship this Sabbath morning in the holiday time. We appreciate your presence with us today, especially any that have come to visit at our morning service. We're encouraged by your presence. May we all know the blessing of God upon our hearts and souls. May we go away today knowing that we have met with God. We welcome the children and the young people along to the meeting as well. We appreciate your presence and support. It's always an encouragement for us to see you in the meetings. And we also welcome those that are looking in, watching our service on the live stream. We're glad that you're able to do that, that we're able to broadcast these services just in that manner. We trust that you'll be blessed through the meeting as well. Keep in mind our evening service, the prayer meeting at 6. We would be encouraged if you were able to come and join us at that season of prayer downstairs in the hall. The gospel service at 6:30. The theme is the greatness of God's love. We have been thinking of God himself, some studies in the subject of God and the gospel meetings. That's going to be the final one in the series at this time. There's other subjects relating to God that could be studied. Maybe we'll take some of those up again in the future. But we felt it would be appropriate to conclude the service with a message on the greatness of God's love for sinners. So come along to the meeting tonight. Do all that you can to bring some others, your family and friends, along with you to the meeting as well. Remember the meetings through the week. Tuesday night at 7:30 is the outreach. The outreach team meeting at the church to go out into the city to continue the distribution of gospel literature. We encourage you to come and join them. The forecast for the early part of the week isn't very favourable, so please make that a matter of prayer that there'll be a nice window on Tuesday evening to facilitate the work of the outreach team. Wednesday night at 8 is the prayer meeting and Bible study. I hope to be the preacher myself. We had a good prayer meeting on Wednesday night past. Thankful to all that were present, a good spirit of prayer. We would invite you and encourage you to come along and to share with us. And there will be a brief meeting of the church committee just immediately after the midweek service on Wednesday night. Next Lord's Day, the first Sabbath in August, the 6th of August, both meetings, God willing, at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Just remind you, there will be communion, the Lord's table, immediately after the morning service. Keep in mind the half hour of prayer, and I will be the preacher at both of those meetings. Remember the Holiday Bible Club from the 14th to the 17th of August. We'll just emphasize the list again that's in the porch. The leaders would like that list filled up as soon as possible, just to give them a wee bit of time to make the plans and preparations. So please look at the list today if you haven't been able to do that previously. Put your name down beside any of the activities that you will be able or would like to help with. And we're encouraging a good number to help and give support to the Holiday Bible Club. And remember the flyers too that are there. Please take those and distribute them as widely as you can. Remember the Lough Erne Convention, the Bethel Church in Enniskillen, commences today, the Lord's Day the 30th, just a little earlier than usual. The preachers are the Reverend Armstrong, our moderator, Dr. John Douglas. Mr. Douglas has preached there now for many years. We're glad that even at 90 years of age, he's still able to continue in the ministry of God's Word. And then Dr. Pollock, Dr. Stephen Pollock, from the Malvern Church in Philadelphia. Dr. Pollock is home and will be preaching at some of the meetings as well. So remember the booklets that give you the details of the convention. There's some of those at the doors of the church. As a congregation, we want to offer our congratulations to Miss Hannah Carson and Mr. James Logan on their engagement just yesterday. We are delighted for you both on this very happy occasion. And as a congregation, we want to assure you both of our prayers that you'll know the Lord's guidance and blessing on all the plans that you make for your wedding and for your future together. So we're delighted to see you both in the service, and we wish you the Lord's richest blessing. I think those are all the announcements. 416, please. We make this hymn our prayer just before we come to the scriptures. 416. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. So 416, please, and it will stand as we sing. To pray together again. Let's just still our hearts together. Father, we do bring the Holiday Bible Club before thee and all the plans that have been made for it. We pray for guidance, and we plead for the evident blessing of God to be upon those meetings and help give unto our sister that will bring the stories, bring the messages from thy word night by night. We want to pray for the meetings down in Inniskillen. Bless the congregation there. Encourage their hearts. We pray that there might be a hearing at those meetings for the word of God. We pray, Father, for a greater interest and a greater hearing for the scriptures all across our land. We pray that each man that ministers it night by night will do so in the fullness of the power and the blessing of the gospel. We ask thee, Father, to especially today remember Hannah and James at this time of engagement. We do thank you for your hand upon their lives. We rejoice in two young people that know the Saviour, and our prayer is that you will guide them very clearly. We pray for the good hand of God to be upon them and all the plans that they make for their wedding day. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll guide them, use them mightily in your service in coming days. Lord, continue with us around the word of God now. We ask that our hearts will be ready. We pray, Father, that each of us will be like the people in Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. It says, the people had a mind to work. O God, give us such a mind, such an attitude, such an outlook. We pray that we'll labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. We'll do all we can while you give us the health and opportunity so to do. But Lord, minister to us now. Give us help in the preaching. And Lord, we desire to be an instrument in your hand. And we pray, even as we read at the beginning of this meeting, that all of us that know the Saviour will be vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Answer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4, the 10th verse, is our text. Just to emphasize the reference at the end of verse 2 to the rubbish. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And verse 10 says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Think of those words, there is much rubbish, the bearers of burden there. One of the tasks that they had was to remove, to take away the rubbish. And the text specifically says that the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Our theme this morning, men and women, is removing the rubbish. I'd like you just to take that in, consider it for a moment before we move on. It's a very important theme. It's a very important theme in the life of the Church of Christ if we're really serious about knowing the blessing of God and seeing the work of the gospel advancing. So just think of that title, Removing the Rubbish. Whenever I was a teenager, a man in the town of Sainfield, remember that we were brought up just outside Sainfield, it was a man that was very friendly with our family. He was building an extension to his home at that time. He asked me if I would come down in the evenings and Saturdays and wheel out all of the rubble. The builders were doing a wee bit of knocking down during the day, and all of that had to be removed before the next day. So he asked me if I would wheel out all of the rubble into the skip. The job he gave me was removing the rubbish. It's not an easy or a pleasant job, but it is, men and women, a very necessary job. Because remember that the building work, and that's the situation here in Jerusalem, the building work can't progress if the rubbish is still there, if all the rubbish is in the way. So that's what was happening in the building project in Jerusalem. The text says there was much rubbish. Now think of all of the ruins of the walls, the buildings in Jerusalem. Remember that chapter 1, the report that Nehemiah heard that the gates were burned with fire. So you think of all of the ruins and the rubble. In fact, chapter 2, verse 14 says that when he was engaged in the survey of Jerusalem, There was no room for the beast that was under me to pass. The way before him was blocked because of all of the rubbish. So it's clear, men and women, the rubbish was hindering. The rubbish at this time was so great, it was holding back the work in Jerusalem. And we have to say and emphasize, the same is true in the church. The same can be true in the lives of many Christians. Maybe you're one of them. There is much rubbish in the life of the church, much rubbish in the life of the Christian. Maybe that's a description today of your life. We have been singing together about our walk with God. The dearest idols I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Maybe there's a lot of rubbish in your life and in your walk with God. There's a lot of things that really are of no use, no value. They're not a spiritual help to you in the Christian life and in your service for the Master. And what we need to see, brethren and sisters, is that those things are hindering. Maybe that's what you need to see today, personally, individually. There's some things in your life that are hindering your progress in the Christian life. They're hindering the blessing in your life, the blessing of God, hindering you being a blessing, the blessing that you ought to be. Maybe hindering the blessing even in the church of Christ. And what is needed, brethren and sisters, what is needed from time to time, and what we want to emphasize that perhaps is needed at this time, is a removal of all of that rubbish. So here's a vital work for us to be engaged in. And I want us to think about it just for a short time, for a little while, in our Bible study today. I want you to think of some rubbish that needs removed from your life. You think of the rubbish that you look at. We've been emphasizing the children, the Holiday Bible Club. One of the choruses we're all familiar with that we teach the children, be careful, little eyes, what you see. That's good advice, men and women. And it's good advice not just for the children. All of us can be guilty of teaching the children one thing and doing something different ourselves. So just think of those words, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a need to be careful about the things that you look at. You need to be careful about maybe the magazines that you look at. In removing the rubbish from your life, perhaps you need to start with what we call that wee bit of furniture in the house, the magazine rack. Are there papers? Are there books, magazines there? Not suitable for a Christian, not helpful for your walk with God. So you need to be careful about the magazines that you look at. Maybe the bigger subject in the day in which we found is being careful about the media that you look at. We're thinking of the TV and the internet, not just the television. Sometimes we can create a lot of focus around the television. That's an area that needs to be watched. We need to be very careful about. But there is a lot of rubbish, a lot of rubbish on the internet as well. And you need to ask yourself today, brethren and sisters, what do you look at? Remember, it's very easy today to do that. It's much easier to watch the internet than it is to watch the television because of tablets, phones, smartphones, and so on. So ask yourself, as we're here in the Lord's house, in God's presence, you have the Word of God in your hands, what do you look at on the television and on the internet? Would it have to be described as rubbish, trash, maybe even filth, not good for your soul, not good for your spiritual life, your spiritual well-being? Maybe it's defiling you as a Christian, defiling your heart, defiling your mind, causing you to lose out with God, causing you to lose your first love for Christ. You know, sometimes people would argue, Christian people argue back, they would say, well, a little look will not do me any harm. That's a big mistake, a very big mistake. If that's how you're thinking, you need to ask the Lord to renew your mind, to renew your outlook give you a different attitude towards those things. Remember Adam and Eve? They fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, and the whole human race fell into sin with them. And how did it start? Well, it just started with a look. The book of Genesis says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So it's when the woman saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. It all commenced. It all commenced, men and women, with a look. You think of David and his sin with Bathsheba, his adultery, and how that all then developed to the murder of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. Well, how did all of that very sad story begin? It too began with a look. In 2 Samuel, remember David hadn't gone to battle. Remember he'd been quite lazy. He'd been lying in bed for most of the day. It says that he got up, and from the roof, he went out onto the rooftop of the palace, and he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So what a warning, men and women, that story is. It was just a look. But it was a wrong look, a sinful look. And that was the first step on David's sad spiral downwards. It can be the first step on the road to a great fall in the Christian life, even for, think of David, the greatest of God's servants. So there's a warning there for us all, men and women. Think of Paul's warning to the Corinthian believers, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." So remember the words of the chorus. May the Lord impress them upon our hearts. May you remember them every day. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes. So there's a great danger there, men and women. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a need to remove the rubbish that you look at from your life for your spiritual good. Let me emphasize, it's just the 2 points this morning. You might be pleased to hear that. But the second thing I'll emphasize, not just removing the rubbish that you look at, but think of the rubbish that you listen to. Remember the Savior when he was here on earth. He said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear." Do you ever notice those words? What a message that is. What a warning he's sounding. We need to take heed what we hear to the things that we hear. And I want you to think about those words. The Savior has been very candid, very plain with us, that you need to be very careful about what you actually listen to. So just take a moment to think of that, the things that you listen to as a Christian. Let me emphasize the subject of music. That is a vast subject in itself. But it is sad, men and women, when we think of the subject of music, it's sad, but it's now acceptable. And even in some circles and for some Christian people, it's the norm to listen to what is known as pop music. Many believers are not taking heed to what they hear. Maybe that's true of you. You regularly listen to what is described as rock and roll or something that is in that genre of music. You listen to this quote. Listen very carefully to these words. "Rock and roll will destroy you. It lets in lower elements and shadows. Rock has always been the devil's music." Do you know who said that? Not some fanatical extremist fundamentalist preacher. Those are the words of none other than David Bowie, a very noted pop star, so-called pop singer. Rock has always, listen carefully, rock has always been the devil's music. So even David Bowie is under no illusion as to what pop music actually is. and nor should you, especially as a child of God. You just think of the lyrics, the words. A lot of pop songs are full of bad words, illicit, immoral statements. In many cases, that's just putting it mildly. Their songs can be vile, to say the very least. So the lyrics alone, men and women, the lyrics alone, even setting the music itself apart and aside, but the lyrics tell us that pop music, it's not appropriate. It's not suitable material for Christians to listen to. Do you remember Moses when he was up on the Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments, and young Joshua as a servant was with him? They were coming down from Mount Sinai after receiving the law of God, and they heard a dreadful noise in the camp. This is what the book of Exodus records. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." What was that noise? Well, it was music. It was the music they were playing. It was the songs that they were singing. The Bible actually records that. And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." Isn't that interesting? It's not a very good description, men and women, of pop music. It's like the noise of war. And it's nothing new. That type of music, that type of rhythm, that type of beat, that type of song is nothing new. Moses had to contend with it and deal with it with the children of Israel away back in the days of the wilderness wanderings. You know, there was a missionary on one occasion, and I hasten to emphasize, not one of our own missionaries, out on the field, the mission field, in a far-off country, in their little home, one day was playing pop music. Isn't that interesting? The tribal chief that they were laboring among heard the music, and he made a point of coming to the home and expressing his absolute horror that the missionary was playing the same sort of music that the heathen in the jungle, the same sort of rhythm, the same sort of beat, the same sort of style of music that the most ungodly tribes in that jungle region would play in their tribal rituals and in their tribal worship. It's not enlightening, men and women. It's akin to the heathen's music in the jungle, in their heathen darkness. Today, a lot of people have trouble with their nerves, with depression, with evil thoughts. One reason for that, and I emphasize not the only reason, but certainly one reason, is the rubbish that people listen to. You ask yourself today, men and women, how could your mind be in a healthy state if you're continually filling it with absolute rubbish? How could that be? Paul said, writing to the Philippian believers, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let me remind you that in the Philippian epistle, Paul deals with the mind, the thinking of the Christian. Let this mind be in you. It's one of the prominent themes of that book. And those words that I've just quoted are written in the context of having the peace of God in your heart and in your mind. And he's giving us the remedy. He's giving us the remedy to that problem. It's the things that we think on. It's the things that we allow into our mind that help us, brethren and sisters, to have peace, not having troubled thoughts, depressive thoughts, and so forth. Do you remember at Ephesus, many of the people got saved under the ministry of Paul. A great church was established. Many of those people were saved out of something akin to what we would call today the occult. They had practiced what the book of Acts describes as curious arts In other words, black magic. What did those new converts do with the books that they had used in those curious arts? They burnt them. They didn't keep them for future reference. They didn't sell them in order to make a wee bit of money. And remember that the book of Acts records they were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. That was a lot of money. But what they did was they burnt them. And I say to you today that that's what you need to do with your pop music, your pop recordings. At this time of the year, they talk a lot about bonfires. Well, you need to have a bonfire. Don't sell them. Don't try to make a few pounds from them. What you need to do is get them out of circulation. Don't let anyone else be influenced or have their mind or spiritual walk damaged by them as well. So here's what's needed, brethren and sisters. Remove the rubbish from your life. The rubbish of the music that you listen to. Let me mention just one other area. That's the messages that you listen to. You think of people that go to churches where the minister's not saved. What sort of ministry, what sort of food for their soul are they getting in such a place? The Bible says that the prodigal, that he fed on the husks which the swine did eat. He was starving. And there are many Christians just like that. They're starving souls because they're feeding on husks. They attend a dead, lifeless church. Remember Mr. Nicholson's great quote, "How do you expect to find live chicks under a dead hen?" Attend dead, lifeless churches, get no ministry, no feeding, and then go maybe to a mission hall or an evangelical church at night to get a little bit of spiritual food. The Bible's clear, very clear about what Christians in such places need to do. Come out from among them. Do you remember Paul on the ship to Rome? He urged the people to eat. And he said to them, "This is for your health." And it's the same men and women, people that aren't receiving appropriate spiritual food. It's for your health as well, for your spiritual health, for your the spiritual health of your family and of your children. I grew up myself in the Presbyterian Church down in Sainfield. And there came a point, even as a lad, maybe 18 years of age, I realized that for my own spiritual health, I needed to leave that church if I was going to go on with God, if I was going to receive the ministry, the instruction, the food from God's word that was essential to my spiritual well-being. You think as well of people that, and what they're told about the way of salvation. Some churches, they're told, get baptized, come to the Mass, join the church, do the best you can, don't do anybody any harm. Do things like this, and God will let you into heaven when your life is over. Do you know, men and women, what that sort of message is? It's theological rubbish. It's foreign to the teaching of the Bible. But people are hearing it all the time. And really, that's what's emptying the churches of our land in the days in which we are found. You think of Paul in Philippians. He talked about his Jewish background. He spoke about his religion. He described the ceremonies that he had passed through, all the things that he had depended upon and trusted in before he got saved. But you remember how he described all of those things? He didn't mince his words in any way. He said they were dung. Do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, he says, all of that sort of thing, all of that sort of teaching, it's rubbish. In fact, using the word dung, he's leaving us in no doubt it's the worst sort of rubbish. But people hear it and listen to it every week. Let me emphasize to you, the Bible's very clear about the way to heaven. The Savior said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And to those in this meeting today without the Saviour, we impress that clear statement. That was, in fact, the first message the Lord Jesus ever preached during his earthly ministry. It's one of the clearest and concisest statements of the gospel you'll find anywhere in the Bible. We want to urge you to do that today. Repent. Repent ye. See how personal it is? Each one individually. You need to turn. Turn from your sins. Forsake them. And then believe the gospel. Put your trust in Christ and in his finished work of salvation. So removing the rubbish. They were doing it practically in Jerusalem. It's a great task, men and women. We need to do it spiritually in the church and in our lives. We can bury our head if we like. We can turn and look the other way. But we all know today, if we're honest, here's an essential work that needs to be carried out. The rubbish you look at and the rubbish that you listen to needs to be removed from your life. You think of spring cleaning. Let me close with this thought. Spring cleaning, maybe a little bit past the spring cleaning stage. Maybe for you it is carried over into the summer as well. Spring cleaning's that time when you do the dusting, the washing, the painting and so on, clearing out of the house. You clear the cupboards, you throw out all the rubbish that has accumulated from the last spring or the last summertime. Did you know that the spring cleaning comes from the Passover, the feast of the Passover in Israel, especially in Old Testament times? The Passover takes place at that time, the springtime of the year. And remember that one of the marks, one of the things that they did during the Passover was they had to clear out of the house all leaven, even the smallest, the little amounts, the tiny little bits. All the leaven had to be cleared out of the house. Remember, leaven in the Bible is a picture, an emblem of sin. So that's what they had to do, and that's where the idea of the spring cleaning comes from. So I urge you, brethren and sisters, this morning to do a little bit of spring cleaning. Do a little bit of cleaning in your life, in your spiritual life. You need to throw out, and you need to get rid of all the things that is hindering your walk with God, hindering your usefulness in the service of Christ, holding you back from living the Christian life and serving Christ as God would want you to do. You listen carefully to these words, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You notice those words? It says, let us cleanse ourselves. May the Lord write that on your heart today. Here's something you need to do. Here's a command, an exhortation of the Scriptures. Something you have to do yourself. We talked a little on Wednesday night, about the luggage of life, the burdens that we carry, the pressures, and the need to bear one another's burdens, to help one another in the Christian life. But there's some things you have to do yourself, and removing the rubbish from your life is one of them. Cleanse yourself, or cleanse ourselves, from all filthiness of the flesh. But remember that a good example has an influence on others. So if you do it, it might have an influence in your home. If you cleanse out those things that ought not to be there, and others see it and see that you're serious about it, it'll have an influence maybe on your husband or your wife or your children or others in your family circle. So pray that you'll go away today from the Lord's house. Don't be a forgetful hearer. It's very easy to be like that. Sometimes people come home from church and they say to somebody that wasn't at the meeting, that was a great meeting today. Well, what did the minister preach on? Can't remember. Well, don't be a forgetful hearer. May the Lord impress this message in your heart today. Go home and ponder carefully the things that you look at and the things you listen to. And here's the Lord's command to clean up your life. Remember that verse at the very beginning? That we would be sanctified, and that we would purge ourselves from these and be and sanctified and be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. God only uses clean vessels. If you want to be used of God, your life to be used, if you want this church to be used, then there needs to be the removing of the rubbish. There needs to be the cleaning up taking place in your heart and in your life. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts today. 411, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. A sunlit heart with not a cloud between. A heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. 411, think of the words, make them our prayer as we close and we'll stand to sing, please. Father, we're thankful for this meeting. We have known your presence with us. We have heard your voice from your word. We thank you, Father, for that. Give us grace to be doers of the blessed word of God. You have turned very clearly the searchlight of the scriptures on our lives and into our hearts. We desire, Father, to be those vessels unto honour. We want to be a channel of blessing. Wherever we go, we pray for your grace, Father. We pray for your grace to do those very things that you've spoken to us of and exhorted us to this very day. Help us, Father, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Hear these our cries. Come upon us now. We ask, abide with us as we leave your house and be with us through the remainder of today. And Lord, we pray that as we come to the meeting tonight, that you'll come down upon us in great power and in salvation blessing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. For Jesus' sake, amen.